Learn from today's most innovative brands and observe how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Welcome to the Brand Lab series from AE Marketing Group.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Walker, along with my co-host, Natalie Piles. We're excited to have you with us. This is episode 23 of the Brand Lab series podcast, where each week we broadcast from 1871 Chicago and explore today's most innovative brands alongside today's most insightful executives and entrepreneurs. This week, we're talking to Ainsley Simmons. Ainsley is the Chief Operating Officer at LearnVest, and we're talking about scaling a growth company from startup to acquisition. And with that said, let's enter the Brand Lab. So Ainsley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Brian.
Last week we talked about technology, but this week I'd love to talk about your experience over the last 4 years at LearnVest, from startup to your 2015 sale to Northwestern Mutual. I still remember sitting in the Detroit Metro Airport in late 2011 as you were thinking about making that move to LearnVest. Does time fly when you're having fun?
It sure does. Man, that's been a fast 5 years.
Yeah. We just recently had Abby Ross on. Abby's the co-founder and chief partnership officer at Think Circa. She talked about being a female and a millennial entrepreneur and co-founder. So like me, you are a Gen Xer. So to join an early startup and work for a millennial founder and CEO and Alexa, what was that experience like for you?
What Alexa and I share is a deep passion for the problem that we're trying to solve, which is to make America stronger with their money. And I think we figured that out the first time we met, and we still, you know, share that every single day that we come to work. You know, our styles are different, right? You know, she is 32 now. I think she was 25 when she started the company. And she grew up in a world where technology's enabled everything. You know, I'm a little bit older. And when I was graduating from business school, you know, we were just starting to use the internet. So I think a little differently, I act a little differently. But what has been cool about working together is I think we balance each other out. I think we bring different perspectives. And I think a lot of startups that are sort of swimming in millennials could use some of that separate perspective. And, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think she would say that she sort of valued a different way of thinking all through building this out, because it was important to kind of check and balance each other all the time. And so I think it's been a fantastic, productive working relationship.
So you have a really strong background in strategy and marketing, working with very large brands like Coors, Campbell Soup, and more. Was it a hard transition? And what are the big differences with large companies and startups?
It was certainly shocking the first day I came to work, you know, in a tiny little office with, you know, 14 or 15 eager millennials looking at me going, okay, what are we doing? And realizing that, you know, even though we just had a very substantial raise of, I think it was their Series B at the time, of about $19 million, that we had, that was all the money we had, and we had to make it work. So it was a bit of a shock, right? There's no corporate anything. You're moving your own boxes, all of that kind of stuff. But on the very positive side, I'll still remember this. My creative director at the time, I came in, I looked at the homepage, and I was like, no, I think we need to make a few changes. We had that conversation on my first day. And I said, you know, well, when do you think we might be able to push the new homepage? And I'm thinking, you know, it'll take a month. And she said, oh, I should have it up by 9. I was like, this is crazy. This is incredible. What an opportunity. So I think what being in a startup has just made me appreciate is the sense of urgency. There's no time like now. Let's solve the problem right now. There's no like, oh, let's have a meeting about the meeting. It's like, we made a decision, let's go. And I think that that is phenomenal. I love it. Now that we're part of a much bigger company again, what we're trying to make sure we do is find the right balance between those startup roots and then understanding the complexities of a very large, very successful company and how to operate in that environment. But what I do want to make sure is that we never lose that startup sense of urgency, because I think it's really what drives technology at the speed of which technology is moving, is just this like, how about now? What about now? And the last thing I'd say about it, what is also all very cool about a startup and has been a huge piece of personal development for me, is the fearlessness that comes with understanding that failure is nothing but a data point. Startups fail all day long, every day. You try campaigns, you try web pages, you try experiences, you try features, and they bomb. And you just can't worry about it. And you have to say, okay, that didn't work. Great, next, now what? And I think that real, not just lacking of fear of failure, but actually enjoying and embracing failure as a data point, right? There it is. We just put up another data point. Not that. Let's go over here. If we could bring some of that to our new parents, I think it would help them, you know, so move forward in the future as well. So, you know, startup, big company, I think both are cool. I've learned a lot from both. And I enjoy both, but it was certainly a shock when I walked in the door.
So Ainsley, knowing you, I could see how you could appreciate the speed and agility at LearnVest. But I have to imagine, was there ever a time when you were looking back over the last 5 years where you said to yourself, what am I or what are we doing?
I mean, every night. listen, the person I always have to give the most credit to for my contribution to LearnVest success is my husband, because I would come home many a night beaten, battered, wondering if we could make it work. And he would look at me and he would say, you know, you're not done yet. Go back in there. This is something you really care about, and just don't give up. And I think that if I didn't have his support all the way through, I might have given up. And I think it's important, if you do go to a startup, to realize that this is going to be very draining and your spouse or partner has to be aligned to what you're doing. Mine was. I was really lucky. I am really lucky. You know, he threw me back into the ring many, 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 many times. And I'm very, very grateful for him for having done that, because I think every time he did it, I was able to help, you know, more folks get their lives together financially. And, you know, I think that, you know, I think everyone always wants to do work that matters. For me, this is work that matters.
Well, it's funny because I've never met your husband, but I happen to know that he also has a good knack for hitting you with flowers unexpectedly. So he also seems to not only be a great support system, but he seems to really know timing, which I think is key to any good relationship or marriage.
Right. It certainly is.
So let's talk about talent. Do you feel that talent is even more important at a startup than it would be at a larger corporation?
I think talent's just important, period. You feel it more at a startup. You know immediately if someone's not carrying their weight. There's nowhere to hide. So I think it is easier to realize when you've made a mistake. And because you're cash constrained, you can't sit on it, right? If you're burning money on someone who isn't adding a lot of value, you're just burning money. So there's nowhere to hide, I guess that is the best way to put it. And you have to make these decisions very quickly. In a bigger company, I think talent is also critical. But I think what happens there is there's not the same sense of urgency, right? If someone's doing an okay job, you know, there's no burning platform, so they can do an okay job. In a startup, you know, okay is just not okay. And you really have to have people that are not just pulling their weight, but creating value. And so I think that's really the difference between a startup and a big company is it's just so much more evident, right? If somebody's not really amazing.
So we have had a lot of executives on actually talk about some of the challenges that come with growth. Did you experience any growing pains as you went from a few employees to 50 to 100 to 200 and on?
Yeah, there have been a couple of big growth spurts at LearnVest. You know, when we went from the 20 or so when I started to the 60 or so level, that was one. 60 to 100 and so wasn't too bad, but post-acquisition, we went from 100 to over 200, and that was another sort of stretch period for us. And I think that what is difficult during those times is keeping what makes the team here special happening, right? That keeping decisions at the front line, not becoming too bureaucratic, being incredibly client focused, letting people, you know, be innovative, because it's so natural to want to bring in, you know, layers and organization and structure. We've found our way. We, I think at this point, have the right amount of organization and structure, but still, you know, sort of rabidly defend the ability for folks to make decisions at the front line. And so, yeah, there have been a couple big stretch periods, but you sort of navigate through them.
Well, LearnVest has been a fairly high-profile company almost since its beginning with coverage in Fast Company, Inc., CNBC, all of those. And I'm sure that that type of exposure is something most startups would long for. But is there also a little bit of a downside in terms of it raises the expectation game for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a tightrope, right, that you're trying to walk as a startup to get some exposure, but not, you know, create, you know, these outsized expectations. I think LearnVest had a bigger thing that we were trying to do with the exposure, because it wasn't just about the company. A lot of our exposure is because we're trying to solve a really important problem. So I think that if it wasn't the actual topic that we were trying to tackle, we might not have gotten all the press. You know, there's lots of really great companies out there that don't get the press that LearnVest did. But I think what captured a lot of the press's imagination is that, you know, we were a bunch of folks who just believe that Americans deserve better around their money and that there's a way to solve this problem and that technology can help. And I think that was what people wanted to write about, frankly. And we never get tired of talking about it because it is a big problem and we do need to solve it. And there's many, many, many ways to tackle it. You know, there's lots of fintech innovators that are trying to come in and solve the problem, and we welcome them all because, you know, I always tell my friends, I've seen America's wallet and it's not pretty. There's a big, big problem. You know, people don't have enough saved for retirement. You know, there's a study that people can't handle a $400 unexpected emergency expense, $400 that they don't have saved. They would have to tap their credit card. So, you know, I think LearnVestors never get tired of talking about that because we want people to know that we can help.
I saw that study and I found it to be incredibly alarming because the percentage was really high.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but it is shockingly high. And it's also shocking that, you know, most people are retiring with under $200,000 saved. I mean, we live 30 years after we work. Take $200,000, divide by 30. It's not pretty. So, you know, we really, really have a problem. And I think the more we can talk about it, the more we make people aware that it's not just your problem, it's everybody's problem. There's no stigma here. We're all struggling. Then the more we can start getting smart about solutions.
Well, let's continue talking about money for a second, but through a different lens. Let's talk about it through the lens of a startup. So you, prior to LearnVest acquisition, you obviously raised a lot of money, dealt with venture capital. What was that process like for those who haven't experienced it?
So I joined at our Series B. So I only saw the C and D rounds at LearnVest. You know, there's other folks here that did the amazing work of getting seed Series A and Series B. But, you know, I had never experienced it myself. So I was very, very new to the whole venture capital way of thinking. And what I found to be very interesting is how much, well, first of all, how many options there are out there for entrepreneurs. There's many ways to raise money. Venture is one of them. But then, you know, going the venture route, what I found incredibly interesting is how supportive and willing most of the venture community is to really work with the company and, you know, get into the weeds and give great advice and connect the founders and employees to other people that can help find talent, help evaluate business ideas. You know, it was really eye-opening for me that a lot of the venture community doesn't want to just give you money and expect an outsized return. You know, that's sort of table stakes. They really want to invest in things they care about, they believe in, and they roll up their sleeves to help. And through our Series C and D, we found lots of partners like that. And interestingly, Northwestern Mutual came in on our Series D. And I think it was their ability to come and really, you know, sort of look inside that gave them the confidence that we were the right acquisition for them going forward. So, I mean, I thought it was cool. I really enjoyed it. It was stressful when you actually had to go raise a round because you're like, oh gosh, you know, I got a lot of employees counting on me. But we were never raising in a cash strap position. We always had many months of runway before we were to run out of cash. So it was never timing critical for us. It was always about finding the right partner, which was really cool. And we just had some amazing partners.
Well, the great thing about that is that obviously put you also in a position of strength. I know myself as a founder that the last thing you want to be doing is trying to go seek money when you need it the most. So the fact that you had some runway and were obviously back with some momentum certainly probably helped you as you got into some of those later rounds.
Yep.
So we're always curious to hear how busy executives and entrepreneurs find balance. So how does Ainsley find balance?
So I'm a mom of three wonderful kids, 14, 12, and 9. And my husband works. So our house is busy, but most people's homes are busy. I think the way we find balance is committing to what we're committing to at the time, right? So when I'm at work, I try and commit to work and I do my work things. And then when I'm at home, I commit to home and I do my home things. And I'm not, you know, nobody is in today's sort of connected world adverse to doing home things at work or work things at home. I mean, it happens. But what I try and do is say, okay, I'm at home. This is home stuff. This is kid time. This is husband time. This is, you know, making sure that, you know, the house is picked up time. And I try and focus. And I think the more you can just enjoy where you're at and do what you're trying to do when you're there, the easier it is for everyone. You know, my kids know that when I'm home, you know, I'm theirs and we hang out and we do stuff and we have dinner together and laugh and talk and, you know, whatever the case may be. But work knows when I'm here, I'm here. I come in, they can grab me anytime, you know, I'm not distracted. So I think that's really my key is just trying to be present in what I'm doing and enjoy what it is when I'm there.
So in 2015, as you've alluded to and talked about, Northwestern Mutual bought LearnVest for an undisclosed amount of money. I'm not going to ask you what that was, but I'm just curious. What's next for LearnVest?
So what's in front of us? You know, remember I said, I can't remember if it was this session or the last one, you know, we're always finding more problems to solve and more use cases. Heaven's sake, with 4.5 million people coming through the platform, I can't wait to see what we're going to find out, all the weird and wonderful things that will come with seeing that many clients. So what's next for us? We're just building. We just keep building. We're going to make the most innovative, easy to use, amazing financial planning platform for both the Learn, Invest, and Northwestern Mutual brands. And we're going to help as many Americans as we possibly can. And, you know, the team's jazzed about it. They're really excited to do that work. And it's challenging work. And it's meaningful work. So I guess more of the same, for lack of a better word.
So LearnVest sounds like a dream job for a data geek who wants to really do meaningful work.
That's kind of the best way to sum it up. If you like hard problems and you want to do something that matters, it's a great place.
Great. Well, that just about wraps up episode 23 of this week's Brand Lab Series podcast. Again, I'd like to thank our guest, Ainsley Simmons, for joining us. Before we go, Ainsley, as Natalie alluded to earlier, I know you also have a very strong marketing background. So if you weren't at LearnVest and you could be the CMO and run marketing and operations for any brand today, what would that be?
Oh, wow. That's a zinger question. I haven't thought about it for a while. And I actually, I'm going to be honest, I don't know. But I guess what I would say is if I was to be the CMO of anything, what my LearnVest experience has taught me is that I would have to truly, truly believe that what I was selling was going to matter in some way, shape, or form. I've had the opportunity, I think, as Natalie mentioned, to market a lot of really fantastic brands, really wonderful companies, and I'm very grateful for the experience. But I think, you know, just as I'm sort of staring down the latter half of my career, I want to spend my time doing stuff that's going to have a meaningful impact. And so I'd really just need to sit down and think about that and where my value set is and come back with a much better answer. But I can't answer it off the top of my head. But I can only describe how I'd think about it.
Okay. Well, then here's a question that shouldn't be a zinger for you. For those of you who don't know, Ainsley is Canadian. So what's a place that's kind of off the beaten path? So maybe not something that everyone in America would know. What's a great place in Canada that people should go visit?
All of it. I mean, I talked to many, many people who've never been to Toronto. It's not off the beaten path. Obviously, it's a very large city. But anyone who I like strong arm into going there comes back saying, wow, that was the most incredible city. It was the most open and welcoming place. You know, it's so clean. It's so active. It's so wonderful. And I think as a Canadian who spent a lot of time in Toronto, it's still one of my faves. So I think, you know, if you haven't been, go. It's a wonderful place to visit, and I think you'll have a wonderful time.
That's not the answer I would have expected, but I flew through Toronto, and coming in and out of there, I was like, I should really spend some time there.
You really, really should. See, yeah. That's what everyone always says. Yeah, I stopped there once on the way to somewhere, and I'm like, no, get off the plane and stay.
All right. Well, thank you, Ainsley.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us in the Brand Lab today and to invite you back next Tuesday as we continue our journey of today's most innovative brands as we learn how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Until next time. To learn more about LearnVest, visit learnvest.com. To listen to our other Brand Lab Series podcast episodes, visit iTunes, Google Play, or brandlabseries.com. Follow us on Twitter at Brand Lab Series. And if you have any questions or ideas for a future Brand Lab Series podcast, email us at info@brandlabseries.com.